So I'm going to share a little bit of some reflections on how we can support ourselves as we transition from the form of the retreat and experience we're having here, as we move, as we change environment, as we meet other beings, and ways that we can support ourselves, ways that we can support our practice, and also ways that we can be supportive to others. Yeah. So keep this relatively short, but hopefully, quite practical, quite useful for our transition. And after this, we're going to open out. Are we going to form a circle? We're going to try and form something like a circle, and there'll be time for you to, say a few words, if you want to the collective of people here before we depart. Okay. Yeah, and there'll be some practical information from the managers as well at that time. Yeah. And we're going to take a small bite out of the room cleaning time, so that's going to be just a little bit shorter, but we can still do everything mindfully, gently, smoothly, all of that. But I just want to take this opportunity first just to really thank you for being here, for practicing together, for supporting this retreat, for making this a really beautiful, welcoming, and really lovely experience for me to be here. So thank you for that. Thank you for doing something that I really admire in you. Yeah. So as we said before, giving a lot of information can be kind of overwhelming, and I feel like there's so many things, so many aspects to our experience. So I'm going to start off with almost just like bullet points, really simple things. So if you only remember one thing, it's this. Yeah, this is what I would like you to remember. Go slower than you think you can. Yeah? So you'll have an idea how quickly you could do anything today or the next days or whatever. Whatever you estimate, just add a little bit more time to that so that you can go slower. When we go slower, there's more possibilities to actually enjoy ourselves. Yeah. Otherwise, we're focused on the destination. We don't actually have the sensitivity, the intimacy, all of that. Yeah. So, if you only remember one thing, or if you only forget one important thing, it's going slower than you think you can. Oftentimes, we actually, one of the things that we rush over is actually a period that we could have for appreciation. Yeah. So hopefully you appreciate what you've done here, what you've participated in creating here, what you've supported here. Yeah. It would not have been the same without you and without your dedication and showing up. And that's actually always true of any meditation we do. And so something I want to speak about is something we can also use, not just when we're leaving a retreat, but also when we're leaving a meditation. Yeah. It's really the same thing, because this fantasy that we create that something is ended, is more a sense, it's actually just changing its form, it's transitioning, it's evolving into something else. We have a friend who once used to say that actually this bit that we call the retreat is actually only the middle bit of the retreat. There's that getting ready, building up, signing up, dedicating ourselves, contemplating what's going to come here, and then we arrive, do this practice here, and then there's this kind of integration part of the retreat, the third part of the retreat. Yeah. So you can decide actually where retreats begin and end. Yeah. They're apparent start date and end date, it's open. It's an open kind of individual concept. So one of the nice ways of ending a meditation is with that little period of appreciation. Yeah. So, you know, the bell rings, and it's not like, okay, that's done, get up, walk away. It's actually the invitation for the victory lap. Do you know the victory lap? Does it mean anything to you? Yeah. So have you watched those wonderful kind of athletic things where they run around a track? You know, there people are racing each other round and round a track. And it feels very important to them, and they give everything they can. They run around the track, and then if they come first, they get the gold, and then they get the silver, and they get the bronze, you know. I'm not mocking it. I think it's wonderful if that's what's, you know, something to train towards, yeah. But what you'll notice is that, you know, all those races happen, and then maybe like in the final race, someone who wins, they ran as fast as they could, they got all the way around, and then they were the fastest. They must have used all of their energy, except for a little bit of energy they seem to have, to be able to run around the track waving at everyone and showing the medal, and it's like... And I often used to think, why didn't you use that energy? And you could have, like, really broken the world record if you actually used all of your energy in that. But somehow there was some left, or it came from a different area, I don't know what it is. And then they can run around and celebrate, yeah? So when we finish the meditation, we might just feel like, oh, I gave everything I could. You probably didn't, yeah, but it's like you gave everything you could, you know, and you get to the end. And then it's time for the victory lap. As the bell is ringing, it's like, what did I support? What did I develop? What got stronger? What's here? And really absorbing into that beautiful quality. And that, you know, let's just say we're going to put it on the end as a victory lap. So you can also take some time today. Maybe you want to write about it, you want to reflect about it, you just want to give some time. It's like, what did I do here? And do you remember that person who showed up in your clothes here? Yeah, who came in your appearance with your face on their face? Where have they gone? Yeah. Is it also them who's leaving? Or has something changed? Yeah. Have that appreciation for what we've developed, what we've cultivated. So that's one idea, the victory lap. Yeah. Similar, but slightly different. There's a teacher called Tenisaro Bhikkhu. We put his name on the board as one of the books that's quite nice to read. And he does a lot of translations, he also does teachings. He's an abbot of a monastery in America. And he has this saying that when you so-called finish a meditation, just don't come all the way out. Don't come all the way out. You know, it's not bell, ring, run away. You know, same thing with the meditation retreat. Don't come all the way out. Right? If you've developed something, if you've cultivated something, maybe it can come with you. If there's a little bit more peace, a little bit more calmness, a little bit more relaxation, a little bit more sensitivity, maybe it can come with you. If you like, kind of a helpful image for this, I think, is you could imagine that in the meditation, you're actually blowing up a balloon with the intentional quality you want to bring. Yeah. So intentions go into attention, and then they blow up that balloon a little bit. And then you'll notice with balloons, if you don't tie them very well, and even if you do, they start to go down again. And so every so often, we just blow peacefulness into this balloon. Whatever that quality is you want, attention into that balloon. Then when the meditation ends, what you'll notice many times that we do is we just let go of that balloon, whoosh, you know, it sort of flies away, and then next time it's time to meditate, where's my balloon? And sometimes we're meditating without a balloon, we're just blowing into air, you know. Didn't make an intention, didn't make it clear I could cultivate something here. We're not really growing something. But the difference in that practice, if it helps to imagine it, yeah, this isn't a real thing you need to do, yeah. You could blow into that balloon, then when it's time to step up and walk away, you can just have a little gentle pinch on the mouth of the balloon, just keep it going for as long as you can. Yeah. As I walk up and I leave, same intention can be added into that activity. I'm only walking. You might call it walking meditation, you might just call it walking. Yeah. Walking with intention. Washing up with intention, going to the toilet with intention, talking to your friend with intention, yeah. Doing your work with this intention. They can kind of support us, and every so often we have the balloon and we can a little bit more. A mindful moment can drop in there. Keep that balloon inflated. Yeah, it's what makes life more beautiful for us and for others. So we've got those two ideas if you want to play with them. Victory lap. Yeah. Did it. And the balloon. Yeah. And you can, you know, obviously, make it your own thing. Make it your own thing. So a couple more things I find helpful, and they're kind of, they're decreasing in their importance. So like, if you can only remember one thing, we have the going slower. If you remember a couple of things, we can have the victory lap, we can have the balloon. Yeah. Seeing those opportunities. The third kind of fits in this area of seeing meditation as listening, seeing it as listening. When we're practicing, are we listening to what we're doing? Yeah. And just watching that the way we're practicing is really in alignment with what we want to be developing. Yeah. So it's possible that we could want more peace and spaciousness. But actually, the way we practice is with a lot of tightness and rigidity, and, you know, I'm not good enough, and I'll never be good enough, you know, these kind of fixed ideas that hasn't got that fluidity, that flexibility. So watching out for the contraction about the practice, in the practice. It's watching out for that, so listening for that. Yeah, just listening for that. And there's a really sensitive area, yeah? On the one hand, like a tip I got from some kind of jazz guitar training I was checking in with was like, listen to what you're doing, because if you're making mistakes, that's actually what you're learning to do. So if we're not really kind of listening to our practice, it's like we might actually be fabricating, supporting, building a non-free condition. Yeah. So just being sensitive to that, it's like it's very likely, to some degree, we're making some kind of mistake at any time. Yeah. So just listening carefully and just checking, is this the right way? Is this the right way for me? I don't want that part to get stronger. Yeah. Is it a sound thing? Yeah. Can I be just a notch higher? That's great. And now? Is it? No? It went there. Uh-huh. So is that better? Yeah. Have I got another button? Yeah. Okay. Be better dressed. Yeah. So the other side to that is also don't be afraid of making mistakes. Yeah, don't make sure we're not holding back from making mistakes. So we can have this idea, you know, this is the path of purification and perfection, and, you know, I should appear as perfect as I possibly can be and be free of mistakes. Yeah. And that can really hold us back. It can be really a difficult paradigm. So we have on the one hand the advice from the jazz guitar gurus, you know, listen to your practice, listen out for mistakes, try not to make mistakes. Is this just a little too loud, feeding back a little bit? Now, can we just have that notch back again? Yeah, that's the one. And so we're listening for mistakes and we make adjustments, yeah. But also, you know, there's a story in Zen where someone comes to the Zen master and says, you know, how did you get to be a Zen master? And they said, by making 10,000 mistakes. That's how you get there. You make 10,000 mistakes. Yeah. And so we bring these two ideas together. It's like this willingness to make mistakes, but also the willingness to learn from them. Yeah. And they make this point. It's like, you're actually making 10,000 mistakes. All of those mistakes are actually different mistakes. You're not making 10 mistakes 1,000 times each. Yeah. So it's not that you just like collect as many mistakes as you can, put them in a bag, you know. I'm a master. So it's got to be 10,000 unique mistakes that we learned from each one of them. We developed through each one of them. Yeah. So it's being aware of that. It's good to make mistakes, but it's also good to learn from them. So in this same area with this listening, it's like really wanting to practice with intelligence. bringing our intelligence into our practice as well. So we're sensitive around what we want to develop, and we also structure the way we practice so that it's actually supporting the qualities that we want to see. And so I would say once a month, just really ask yourself, what do I want to develop in my practice? What do I sense I would like to see more of in my life? Yeah, more of something. And that becomes our intention. And let that intention guide us through that month of practice. Yeah. It says, I want to see more kindness from myself. I want to be able to be more kind to more beings. And so you might say, okay, so I'm going to practice metta. I'm going to practice metta. That's what I'm doing. And that becomes like the core of what we're practicing, what we're developing. But every so often, what you'll notice is you come to the cushion. It's like, it's not accessible. It's not available. I can't find it. And in that moment, okay, so what do I need? I'm really tight. I'm really tight. I actually need to relax. Or I'm really, really agitated. I'm really, really busy. I need to calm down. Maybe count a few breaths as I'm breathing. Something that's going to relax that. And then maybe that we need to do that for that day or for a couple of days until that storm has kind of passed. Or maybe just 5-10 minutes of that and it settles down. And then we come back to what was the core intention. Yeah, so we're really clear. This is what I'm developing. It's kindness. Don't give up on the other thing. You know, we do that thing. We stay with it. I feel like I mentioned this before. Yeah, I think I did. Okay. So that's kind of in terms of the practical ideas around ways that we can practice. But it's really important to remember what we need to be mindful of. And maybe Zaha mentioned this in the talk yesterday. But when we're practicing, what are we actually mindful of? What are we remembering? What's important to remember? And I would say it's important to remember that this experience is not existing independently. There's never nothing I can do. There's never nothing I can do. Even if I can't see that there's something I could do. Yeah. Just kind of informing ourselves. I call this the possibility of possibilities. Yeah. I mentioned that in one of the talks at some point. Yeah. The sense that something's possible, even if I don't know what it is. And if I'm really in a lot of doubt, I've really got a lot of low energy or something, it can really feel like it's nothing I can do. Nothing I can do. And in those instances, even when I'm feeling really confused and whatever, let's try breathing differently. Let's try changing the posture. Let's just try something. Yeah? Let's try something. Start to just move those dials a little bit. And then it's like, oh, now I'm getting a sense. Now I'm getting a sense. There's something I can do here. So I just want to say a few words about taking some of the richness of here with us. Yeah. If there's something here that felt really supportive, really kind of stands out as like, that was a part of the day that really supported me. It might have been the yoga. It might have been waking up early. Yeah. It might have been eating in silence. Yeah. It might have been being outdoors more. It might have been going for a quiet walk. Sunset or something like that, you know, so like just feel, what was it? What was it that was quite significant? And maybe we just take one of those into our daily life. Maybe I have a quiet meal once a week, you know, or whatever it is. Yeah, it doesn't have to be dramatic. It might be, you know, you're more ambitious, you're never going to talk and eat at the same time ever again, you know, but making it applicable to your life, making it appropriate to what you enjoyed, what touched you. Yeah. Seeing if we can have a dedication to keep that going for some time. So some of us will know that the idea of leaving retreat actually feels like stepping into a more challenging environment. And there can be a part of us, or some of us, who concerned about losing the supports, losing the kind of being we can find ourselves to be when we're on retreat. That sense of kind of losing all of that. Oh, sorry. Hallelujah. It's important to remember that this is a gift, you know, to be on retreat, to be able to be offered this kind of experience so that we can appear differently to ourselves, appear differently to others. Yeah. We are dependent on where we are. We are dependent on who we're around. We are dependent on what we do. It fabricates how we appear. Yeah. But there were challenges here also, and we met those. Yeah, and there'll be challenges out there, and we will meet them. So just remembering again, going slower than we think we can. It's really going to be helpful. It's really going to be helpful. When we're challenged, this is actually another one from the jazz guitar school. Yeah, but when we're challenged, that's actually when we're learning. It's actually when we're developing. It's actually when we're growing. Yeah, how we meet our challenges, actually, that's where we're growing. Yeah. So because I never want any challenges, I never want to develop, I never want to change, I just want to ignore any benefits, all the mistakes I make, all that. You know. But actually, if we look at it the other way around, we love challenge. We love them. Everything that we love probably also came from challenge in some way. Everything you've learned. Everything you know how to do, everything that's quite beautiful in our life. There's kind of this reframing. Yeah. Play with that perception of challenge at times. Something I find quite helpful when I feel kind of overwhelmed by that sense of challenge is also perceiving, like, why do I practice? Why do I practice? We may have mentioned this, it may have occurred to you, you may have heard it before. When we come into the meditation hall and we sit down and practice, there's this interesting thing going on. We're very supported by everyone else who's here. Yeah? If everyone else suddenly had to leave and you were left, you know, kind of holding the structure of the retreat together, it would be more difficult, right? Other beings are supporting you to be here. But also you are supporting other beings to be here. So we could view it either way. It's like, oh, I'm supported here. Other times we can show up and think, actually, I'm sitting here doing my practice so that other beings can be here doing their practice. Okay? You can play with this way of perceiving. And sometimes we're actually facing challenges, not just for ourselves. The challenge of practicing, the challenge of showing up, you know, is actually for other beings. Maybe it's for all beings. We can perhaps notice what happens to the heart, what happens to the energy, what happens to the enthusiasm when we see that we're practicing for all beings who aren't free right now. Yeah. All beings that aren't free right now. And that's not free in the way that they're thinking and feeling and relating to their experience, but also some not free because of external conditions, that maybe there's not nothing we can do about. Yeah. Important to remember that, you know, this practice can be quite radical in what it supports us to do. One view about this practice could be that what we've been doing here is playing with how appearances appear. Yeah, playing with how appearances appear. All the different ways of practicing here has actually changed our experience, changed how things appear. Yeah? Does that make sense? Did you notice that was happening? I expect so. And then there's the question, it's like, why are we doing that? We're opening the sense of possibility of possibilities for us, but also the possibilities to act in the world, act in our relationships, you know, to be a better listener to those around us, but also the capacity to stand up for what we believe in. Yeah. The capacity, like Zal was speaking about yesterday, to really enact our wisdom, our compassion, our care in the world. So the way I talk about this, and we actually have a Sunday evening meeting on this theme, calling it Shaping the World. So we can shape the world that we perceive by adjusting, you know, the body, heart, mind, condition in this moment, what we normally call meditation. And we can use that to enable us to actually shape the world out there. Yeah, shape the world out there. That needs some changes, yeah? Needs some help with its prejudices. Needs some help with its cruelty. Yeah? Standing up for what we believe in from a place where we've played with our perception. So that we can see, yeah, I can do this. I can embrace a challenge. I can stand up for what I believe in. I don't need to mind, yeah, feeling embarrassed or getting it wrong. Also, something that we can work with. And what's really supportive for that is community. Yeah. And there's actually quite a lot of community available for us through Tovana. And yeah, maybe we'll take a moment just to kind of speak a little bit about some of the things which are offered that can be a support through Tovana, so that we can continue our practice going and maybe open it into new areas.
אקפוץ פנימה ואגיד כמה דברים על המשאבים לתרגול שתובנה מציעה, ואז נחזור לנייתן לעוד טיפה. אז לתובנה יש פעילות מאוד מאוד עשירה בכל מיני רבדים. אני אזכיר חלק מהם. בנוסף לקורסים כאן בעין דור, באורחים שהם כרגע בין שני לילות לשבועיים לדעתי של ריטריט, יש גם פעילות עירונית מאוד מאוד עשירה, גם ימי תרגול בכל מיני מקומות בארץ, גם קורסים עירוניים, גם אונליין וגם פיזיים, גם היברידים, גם וגם, שאפשר להצטרף אליהם. הזכירו לי היום להגיד שאני מלמדת קורס שמתחיל ביום חמישי, מי שרוצה או רוצה, פרטים באתר. וזו באמת הזדמנות, כן, להביא את התרגול שלנו, לשזור אותו גם לתוך החיים בעוד דרך, מאוד מאוד תומך. יש גם הרבה מאוד קבוצות ישיבה, חלק מהן קבוצות ישיבה שמונחות על ידי מורות או מנחות של תובנה, חלק מהן קבוצות ישיבה שהן רק מוחזקות על ידי קהילה. כל המשאבים האלה הם מאוד מאוד יקרים, מאוד מאוד תומכים בתרגול שלנו, ויש המון מידע באתר. יש גם את האפשרות להתנדב, זה גם משאב, כן? זה גם משאב של קהילה. אז הזכרתי בשיחת דנה את האפשרות להתנדב לצוות, לריטריט שירות כאן בעין דור, אבל יש עוד המון אפשרויות של התנדבות גם לאורך הזמן, כן? תפקידים רבים בתובנה שהם תפקידים התנדבותיים, ו... יש לנו בריטריט כמה וכמה שנוסעות בתפקידים כאלה. אז גם על זה יש מידע באתר, נכון? אוקיי. ומי שמתעניינת עכשיו, תשאירו פתק עם השם והמייל לרעות על לוח המודעות, והיא תיצור איתכם קשר. ואני רוצה... מה? וגם כאן בעין דור יש אפשרות להתנדבויות, תודה מירי. במקרה מירי מציינת. התנדבות לאורך זמן גם כאן, או בריטריט שירות ארוך יותר, או להגיע לימי התנדבות בכל מיני תחומים אז ככה, כל הזמן יש עוד אפשרויות, ואפשר, אם מישהי מתעניינת, אפשר להשאיר פתק עם השם שלך, מירי? כן? אפשר להשאיר פתק, מי שרוצה להתעניין בהתנדבות בעין דור, אפשר להשאיר פתק למירי על לוח המודעות, גם עם השם וכתובת מייל או טלפון שיהיה אפשר ליצור קשר. ויש גם, אני רוצה להזכיר גם כמה יוזמות של יציאה של התרגול אל העולם, שקיימות בתובנה, רק להזכיר, מאוד מאוד חשוב, חלקם בתוך תובנה, חלקם הם מחוברות לתובנה, אבל הם יוזמות עצמאיות. יש עבודה בבתי כלא, שקט שבפנים, עמותה שקיימת הרבה מאוד שנים, שאחר חלק משמעותי ממנה, ומלמדת, תומכת באסירים ואסירות לתרגל. יש את שפת קשב, יוזמה שמביאה מיינדפולנס לבתי ספר. יש את דרמה מעורבת חברתית, שמביאה את התרגול אל תוך בעיקר הסיטואציה של הכיבוש, אבל היא פתוחה גם לדברים אחרים. פשוט עד היום העניין המרכזי היה בזה.
עוד לא סיימנו את הכיבוש. סליחה.
יש את אחד על אחד, תודה, נקטע לי הקצב המחשבה. יש את אחד על אחד, פרויקט של ליווי חולים סופניים וחולות סופניות. ליווי אחד על אחד, כמו שזה נשמע, עם תרגול למי שכבר לא יכולה להגיע לקבוצות או לתרגל ביחד. גם פרויקט מאוד מאוד יפה, וכל הדברים האלה מאוד מחוזקים, גם חשוב לי להגיד. יש עכשיו מתחילה התארגנות שאני לא יכולה לחבר אתכם לשום מקום, אבל רק שתדעו ותשימו עין על גם על האתר, וגם שווה להצטרף לרשימת התפוצה של התארגנות של סנגה מסביב למשבר האקלים, שאולי תצא קבוצה שגם תעבוד ספציפית עם זה. לי ולנייתן, מי שיודעת יודע, אנחנו ניסדנו ב-2004 ארגון שקוראים לו סנגה סבע. סנגה זה קהילה, סבע זה שירות, קהילה משרתת. ריטריטים בכל מיני פרויקטים בעולם, משלבים גם עבודה סביבתית, גם עבודה בכפר מצורעים, קהילת מצורעים בהודו, גם עבודה כאן באזור שלנו, בתמיכה, בעיקר בתמיכה בחקלאים ומשפחות פלסטיניות בתקופת מסיק הזיתים, אבל גם בדברים אחרים. ויש פוסטר על לוח המודעות, מי שמעוניינת אפשר להסתכל. בגלל הקורונה, הרבה מהדברים שאנחנו עשינו בעבר קצת בקצב מואץ יותר, אבל אנחנו מוצאים ומצאות יוזמות חדשות. אז שחר רוצה שנזכיר בעיקר את הריטריט של המסיק שהוא באוקטובר. כן, הוא ממש שווה.
ממש רחוק, אבל...
הוא רחוק אבל שווה, וזו הזדמנות להזכיר. ומי שחושבת שאולי זה יעניין, אפשר להירשם לרשימת תפוצה שלנו דרך האתר של סנגה סבע, ואז תקבלו מידע כשזה יגיע. ודבר אחרון שרציתי להזכיר, והוא חשוב, כשנסיים כאן, לדעתי בזמן המכירת ספרים בארוחת צהריים, מתי? מה? אוקיי, כשנסיים כאן תהיה הזדמנות לרכוש כל מיני ספרים אחרי הניקיונות. אוקיי, אז בארוחת צהריים בתכלס. תהיה הזדמנות לרכוש ספרים, ואני רוצה לדבר בעיקר על ספר אחד. שם כמה ספרים שתורגמו או שנכתבו על ידי אנשים ונשים שקשורים לתובנה, אבל הספר שאני רוצה לדבר עליו בעיקר זה ספר של רוב בורבאה, שרוב מה שלמדנו כאן ותרגלנו כאן זה דברים שבאים ממנו ומדרך ההבנה הייחודית שהייתה לו של הדרמה. והספר הזה תורגם לעברית, זה הישג מדהים ועצום. אני לא חושבת שיש תרגום לאף שפה אחרת, למרות שהיו ניסיונות, והוא גם מתורגם בצורה נפלאה. אז מי שרוצה רוצה, ראייה שמשחררת, המתרגמת כאן. זה כל מה שנגיד. אפשר, מי שמעניין אותו, אותה ככה, להעמיק יותר בדרכי ההסתכלות, ובכל הדרך ההסתכלות הזאת על הדרמה, אין ספר יותר טוב מזה. ומשאב אחרון שנציין, אולי נתן יגיד את זה גם, אז תשמעו גם וגם, זה הקלטות כמובן, גם באתר של תובנה, לנו גם יש הרבה מאוד הקלטות באתר שקוראים לו דרמסיד, וזה נמצא על רשימת המשאבים שיש על לוח המודעות. תודה.
Thank you. You didn't mention dependent origination website, but everything else I think you did. Yeah. Yeah. So the some people are interested in the things that we had on the notice board, you know, that the written instructions around like the themes of the day, and sometimes people can find that helpful to read again. And so if you look, there's a clear bag that they were in when they'd been up, and it says on the website that you can find them on, which is dependentorigination.org, and then /resources, and you can download them from there or just visit them again, read them again, if that feels helpful for your practice. And you know, there's other stuff on that website as well that if you're interested in it. So just want to say a few words about ways that we can support a daily practice for ourselves. And that can be a really important time that we actually just have a little bit of peace in our existence, a little bit of, you know, discharging the stressful energies that can kind of build up on a day-to-day basis. And so the first thing to say is that a daily life practice may look quite different to what you were experiencing on retreat. Yeah, and that can kind of come with a sense of disappointment, which is like, nothing seems to happen in my day. I just sit there and so, yeah, it can be like that sometimes. But also, if we're clear about the intention and we set that idea, like this month is all about whatever, you know, kindness or spaciousness or whatever, can be a sense over time it is getting a little bit better. Yeah. And including those victory laps, including that balloon, yeah, can start to give us a sense it's actually it is meaningful. It is making a difference. It is moving that dial a little bit, yeah? So the dial moves, it goes back, you know? So I spoke about the default settings or whatever yesterday, yeah? So, oh yeah, they reset. So what? Then we reset, yeah? That's what our mindfulness, that's what our presence opens the possibilities for. So we'll each find our own way of when to do it, how long to do it, but just want to make sure it's long enough, yeah? It's not too short. It's long enough that it actually allows us to settle, and not just settle, but actually be a little bit creative in our experience. Yeah. So I settled, and then I opened the space, or I invited in the kindness. But we don't want to make it so long that it feels intimidating and we don't do it. Yeah, so you're going to have to find that time for yourself. I can't say to you, for everyone, you know, it's at least 20 minutes. It's not going to say. You'll know for yourself. And you have to be honest about that. But then we have to apply the dedication. Once we've made that decision, then just use everything you can to support yourself, you know, whatever it is. If we decide it's in the morning, it's like, I have to do that before I get to eat. A note on the fridge, you have to, you know, tick that you meditated and then the fridge will open, you know, whatever it is. Could be the same thing. It's like, I have to meditate before I go to bed. You know, and that can be really helpful, especially if we're the kind of person who just does more and more and more things in the evening, yeah. If we're really clear, it's like, if it's after, you know, whatever, you know, half an hour before we think would be sensible to be in bed, and we discover we're too tired to meditate, well, then we also go to bed a little bit sooner, you know? And then we need to set it half an hour earlier than that until we end up, you know, we're back with a morning meditation. But using that capacity to put a time every day for some practice. It's good for you, it's good for the world, you know, whichever way you want to see it, yeah. Whatever really supports you to do that. And there's loads of apps out there that we can use that can support us in sustaining a daily practice, you know. There's guided meditations that we can download from Dharmaseed, Tovana's got loads of stuff on their website, you know, it's like, there's lots and lots that we can use to support us. never be thinking, oh, I shouldn't do that, that's for beginners. Yeah, that real willingness to be a beginner, to use all the support we can have to get us going. Yeah, so just using everything. Once we've decided when to do it, make that personal. Yeah, then just use everything we can to show up, to have our experience. And I would say, in addition to that, look for one activity in your day that you can convert into a meditation. You know, washing up, or washing yourself, brushing your teeth. And just turn that into a meditation as well. And slowly, slowly, we might be able to see every moment's fabricated. Every moment's not existing independently. Any moment could become part of our practice. So that nice, clear period of time, 100% this is about the meditation. Yeah. Having a sense that I'm developing something, I'm supporting something, and showing up and doing it. Yeah. Not measuring ourselves too soon, but not forgetting to check in with that over time. And, you know, if you want, you can always be in touch with us. Yeah. So through that website, Dependent Origination, through Tovana, through other things, you know, can reach back to us. I'm always happy to hear from people. And if I can offer anything of help in your life, in your practice, anything like that, I'm really happy to do that. And, yeah, I'd just like to echo, I think, one of the most important thing that we can do is getting to know our neighbours. And so I would really recommend, if you haven't been to Palestine, in a peaceful way before, then joining the Being Peace retreat. And yeah, I think it's one of the most radical, transformative things that you can do as a human being. And I know that that might cause some feeling of trepidation and fear, but we already realize that challenges are where we grow, yeah, where we learn to be more than who we think we are. Yeah. So yeah, hope to see you along the way. Thank you again for your practice. May we all be free in every possible way. So a circle is a lovely shape, and we can get close to it by kind of rearranging ourselves so that you can more or less see everyone, and we might need two rows or whatever we can do to kind of fit together, and we'll squeeze together up here as well. And let's see what shape we can make.